الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه بقدر حسنه وكماله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا. صدق الله العظيم. Hello my kiram, respected brothers. We are discussing amanat. We are discussing honesty in trade. We are discussing fraudulent dealings and other relevant aspects, especially those that are pertinent and important in present day times. However, today I have been informed that at most of the masajid, a special request has been made that there should be a talk on AIDS and the harm or the destruction that this disease is causing. Well, my dear brothers, I think if you had followed the talks given all along, then this is the essence and this is the bottom line: that develop in your hearts taqwa. We should develop in our hearts the consciousness or conscious presence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We should realize that Allah ta'ala is watching. We are His creation, we are His servants, we are His bandas, we are not His masters. And whatever order Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives, it is for the benefit of mankind, it is for the benefit of the individual, it is for the benefit of the society. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not want to see anybody suffer any kind of harm, whether in this world or in the akhirat. He is a loving, caring, compassionate, merciful, kind Allah. And He wants to see everyone gain His pleasure and enter into Jannat in the akhirah and enjoy all the ni'mats. And even in this world, outwardly there can be lots of diseases, sickness, problems, difficulties, hardships, trials, tests, as it came upon the Rasuls of Allah, came upon the Sahabas, came upon the Walis. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants that we should develop in our hearts raza bil qaza, that accept the decisions that are made by Allah ta'ala. First of all, we must make the effort in the correct direction. Everything has to be done according to the usuls of Sharia. We must make the effort in the correct direction. If we want to go to Johannesburg, we must sit in the aeroplane that goes to Johannesburg. If we want to go to Cape Town, we must sit in the plane that goes to Cape Town. So in the same way, if we want the ni'mats and the blessings and the mercy of Allah ta'ala, then we have to do those a'mal and those deeds which bring Allah ta'ala's rahmat and mercy, and stay away from all those deeds which bring Allah ta'ala's wrath and anger. So when we do the right things, after that, if some adverse conditions befall a person, then still inside his heart, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give him sukoon, Allah ta'ala will give him peace, Allah ta'ala will give him a kind of happiness which he cannot express in words. Because outwardly there seems to be adverse conditions be facing this person. So we cannot see inside the heart what that person is experiencing until the person tells us. So this question of AIDS also, if I have to read out statistics and all those things here to you, which we derive from the newspapers and from other articles, then of course that requires a lot of time, and at the end of the day all we will say that they are shocking statistics. That is about all. But nothing really happens after that. Because those people who are so concerned about this sickness and about this disease and about this epidemic, then if you have to look at their lifestyles, then nothing changes there. Nothing really shocks them. Those discos, those nightclubs, those prostitute quarters, those gambling dens, those porn movies, those filthy magazines, there is no question of any banning or getting rid of them, because they are instrumental also in inciting the passions of a person, which then leads him to committing these type of sins. So they are not going to worry about those things. The only thing at the most they will say is that you must enjoy yourself, you must make merry, indulge in illicit relationship with any amount of women you need, require, or you wish, the only thing you must do is take precaution. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. Now for the Muslim, and this is our dilemma, that when we are addressing an audience of Muslims in a masjid, then at that time, which angle do we take? From which angle do we tackle this issue? If we have to tackle it from the way that the others are tackling it, then it's not going to really help the Muslim very much. Because as far as the Muslim is concerned, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got a very clear-cut guideline. The Quran and the Sunnah gives us a clear-cut guideline. There is no question of precaution with a woman who is haram, or with an, or what we may term as sodomy, which is haram. There is no question of precaution. The only precaution is that we must be careful that Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam must not become displeased with us. That our nafs and shaitan must not waylay us. They must not hijack us and lead us to committing such a kind of despicable, haram, forbidden, shameless, indecent sin. So that is what precaution we must take all the time. That this nafs and shaitan must not tempt us into committing such a kind of crime, because it is a serious crime in the eye of Allah. So serious that especially if you have to take sodomy, it is so serious that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ordered Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to raise Sodom and Gomorrah right up to the skies and then turn the earth upside down. Now there was absolutely no doubt that these people who were turned upside down or thrown from such high heights, there was no doubt at all that they were all going to die. There was no question of them surviving or living. Death was genuine. But yet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, on every stone there was the name of that person who was committing such a despicable crime. And that stone was again rained on that person. So it is like how you take your anger out, that when the person is already dead, sometimes the person is dead, but just to take the person's anger out, he fires another 10 bullets into that body, to show that he was extremely angry. To show he is extremely angry, he fires more bullets into a person's body, the person who is already dead. So here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is trying to show his extreme anger at this sin. So how much of precaution a person must take? Not the precaution that carry something in your pocket and protect yourself. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala places in the Quran Sharif, He has mentioned the story of Hazrat Lut alayhi salatu wasalam's people. وَأَمْتَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِّن سِجِّينَ, and we rained upon them stones of baked clay. To show how angry Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was. And it has been mentioned that besides the pigs and besides the monkeys, no sensible person or no creation of Allah ta'ala also indulges in this kind of a thing. So it is not a question of just statistics. Statistics in its place, whether 1 billion people will catch AIDS or 10 billion people will catch AIDS, indeed they are all shocking statistics. But when we are talking to Muslim audiences, then there is no other angle to tackle this issue but to say that those statistics must shock us. But then what should be our reaction? What should be our reaction? Our reaction should not be the reaction of those who don't believe in Allah, those who don't believe in the Day of Judgment, those who don't believe in being accountable before Allah on the Day of Judgment, those who do not believe in Jannat and Jahannam, those who believe that this world has been created for enjoyment, fun, pleasure, entertainment, and when you die you turn to dust. So our reaction should not be that same reaction, otherwise we have gained nothing. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned so clearly, we will take both issues together, whether it is zina or whether it is sodomy, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the ahadith have condemned it very, very severely. So much so that in the Bani Israel, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was going with his people, and there were hundreds of thousands of people, or thousands of people, and just one person committed zina in that army, and 70,000 people died on that day. 70,000 people, Allah ta'ala wiped them out just for the sin of one person. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that when people will indulge, I cannot go into the details of that entire hadith, but one part of that hadith is, that when people will indulge in immoral life, that means they will commit zina, they will commit adultery, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will cause such diseases to spread in that community, which their forefathers did not even hear of. And after spending, you see all around the world, that after spending billions of dollars in research, finding a vaccine for some kind of disease, which is related to a promiscuous lifestyle, immediately there will be another disease surfacing. The moment they will find some cure to AIDS, you will find another disease. And it will carry on like that. And lives will become miserable. But the sad part of the whole thing is that not only those who are indulging in such a kind of lifestyle are being affected, but individuals who are absolutely innocent of this kind of crime, they too are becoming affected because of blood transfusion and other related matters. So therefore we cannot just label every person who has got AIDS as being a person that should be stoned to death. We should sympathize with those people who have been affected indirectly. But those who are indulging in this crime, if you have to look all the teachings of the Imams, everyone says that they should be put to death. There is no question of doubt about that as being put to death. But there are differences of opinion as to how they should be put to death. It is stated in the hadith that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an and one two other sahabas during the door of Khilafat, he said they said burn them up. Some Imams say that take them to a very high building. Those who commit sodomy, take them to a high building and throw them from there. And after that still throw stones on them. To follow the Quranic verse which says that this is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did to them. So therefore take them there, throw them and then throw stones on them. And for zina also we know that what punishment Allah ta'ala has given in the Quran Sharif. So this is a scourge, this is a sickness, this is a disease of our society. We all understand and we all know fully well what are the implications of this promiscuous lifestyles. Everybody knows. We read every day and we hear every day. But then what do we do about it? Nabi Ali, the Quran Sharif says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Don't go close to zina. It reminds me that Shab-e-Barat is tonight, inshallah. And one of the group of people or categories of people whom Allah Ta'ala does not forgive even in the night of Barat, such a blessed and Mubarak night, are those people who are indulging in adultery or fornication. And they are not making tawbah from it. Then even this blessed night, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not forgive them. In this verse, Allah Ta'ala says that do not go close to zina. Now all those who are screaming at the top of their voices, that look at the statistics of AIDS, if you have to look at their lifestyles, they are going not only close to zina, but actually committing zina. So then how are they going to stay away from this sickness? But then as I mentioned earlier, that there are so many innocent women who are being affected because of their husband's promiscuous lifestyles. Brothers, therefore, we have to look at this verse that Allah Ta'ala says, do not go close to zina. Meaning that all those things which will lead you to zina, stay far, far away from it. I am talking in general terms, that even those doctors who are very, very vociferous and very, very actively fighting against this AIDS disease, and those doctors who are in medical associations, which are Islamic medical associations, whether of our country, of America, of other parts of the world, how careful they must be if this is their conviction. Because we have many, many cases. In the masjid, what can we say? Even take the business people, take those in other professions, so much so that even ulama and muftis and qaris who are teaching, they are all exposed to this temptation. And if they don't have taqwa and the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala at heart, then they will also become victims. So those who are going to be in seclusion with their secretaries or with those young female ladies in their offices behind closed doors, whether that person is a doctor or is a mufti sahab or a qari sahab or anybody else, But if there's going to be this seclusion, then Shaitan says that even if Hasan Basri and Rabia Basriya have to be alone in a room where there's no third person, and there's seclusion, there's privacy, then I will mislead them too. So if Rabia Basriya and Hasan Basri, Rahmatullah Ali, if Shaitan says that I can waylay them too, if they become alone, then who are you and I to claim that our taqwa is of that level, that Shaitan cannot mislead us? But yet when it comes to the employment of a receptionist, when it comes to the employment of a bookkeeper, when it comes to the employment of an accountant, when it comes to the employment of any person in the business, then at that time the first thought of ours that goes to, or laborers, or for work in any part of our industry and factory, then our first thought goes to beautiful women. Why? Because they will save us salaries. We will save on salaries. But how many youth, their iman got completely wiped out? We are not saying that it is totally haram. We are not saying that it is totally haram to employ them in certain departments. What I am saying is this, that those who go by the book of modern economics, so then this is the end result. I have had fathers coming to me and complaining that my son, who was working in the factory or working in a certain department, now suddenly he has fallen in love with this non-Muslim woman and he wants to marry her. What must I do? Not one, many, many cases. Now who is it that provides these avenues for them? So what I am trying to get at is this, that Shariat has given us a beautiful way of life. And if we are going to protect ourselves from going close to zina, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will protect us from zina and it will give us peace of mind. My Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum, he says one doctor, he came to Hazrat Maulana Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and he said, Hazrat, raat bhar neend nahi aati, aur ek alam mein istiraab tari hai. I cannot sleep whole night and I'm restless whole night. I'm so deeply in love with this woman, do something. Because she doesn't want to marry me and I want her. So this is the end result of these promiscuous relationships. Diseases, sicknesses, restlessness, anxiety, worries, pressure, depression, and sometimes murder, suicide, killings. All these things happen, not just AIDS. So therefore, whilst we are concerned that AIDS is an epidemic and it is spreading and it will spread, because there is no banning at all of porn literature, of porn magazines, of porn films, of prostitute quarters and of all the other filth, there will be no banning, it will be all open. And especially in these days of holidays, our youth who are already in most of these places because schools are closed. So at such a time, the fathers just telling them about AIDS is not going to help. The fathers will have to show a serious concern that they themselves will first have to come to the masjid, come to good programs, send the youth out in the jamaat in the holidays, or send them into the company of the salihin, of the ahlullah, or send them into other good company, or make sure that their friends are not those who are taking them to the drugs, drink, gambling and wine and women. If we are not going to show that concern, then tomorrow we will have ourselves to blame. Just yesterday a father came to me and he says, for the past 2-3 weeks now my son, he's lost complete interest and it is exam time. It was exam time and he just lost complete interest, he doesn't want to do anything. He just wants to, he's like in a shell. And we do not know what has happened to him. There are many cases of this kind, but this one, just recent one. So I checked this young person, I spoke to him and asked, and I saw that there's nothing that has really happened to him. There's no jadu, no jinn, nothing at all. So I asked the father to please excuse me and I want to talk to this child. A 19-20-year-old youth. Speaking to him, he said, I went to one conference and there I met up with this girl. And from that time, I just want this girl. But my parents say that no, she is from a different language background and I'm still studying and I'm doing this and that, so therefore I cannot marry her. So that is why I'm gone into this shell. So this is the end result. Depression, worries, anxiety, restlessness, no sleep. So brothers, this night of Shab-e-Barat, inshallah, tonight we will be discussing these aspects. if Allah Ta'ala wills. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the hadith, how many places he has warned. Therefore that hadith, which I mentioned in my majlis also and probably one of the Jummas also, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that you guarantee me six things, I will guarantee you Allah will give you Jannah. That not just namaz, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam didn't say make namaz five times a day and give zakat and fast and go for hajj. That every Muslim has to do, it's farz. If he doesn't do it, there's no question of him being a Muslim. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Usduqu iza haddastum, when you speak, speak the truth. Wa awfu iza wa'attum, and when you promise, fulfill your promise. Wa addu iza utumintum, and when you are entrusted with something, then do not betray the trust. And then what does he say? Wa ghuddu absarakum, and lower your gazes. In business and in other work sometimes, if there is no other way out, then you have to talk to those ladies who are ghair mahrams. Then it must be just as how when you are driving, you are just passing through, but you do not look at them very carefully from head to toe, what they look like. Otherwise they will say in businesses, if we are going to lower our gazes, they are going to raid our whole business. So therefore we say that don't become so Sufi sahab there that you lower your gaze and do business, because they are, but they are still have that hope of Allah, that Allah is watching me. Allah knows what thoughts are going on in my mind. And those who say that we've got park nazar, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, that, O Ali, your first sight is maaf. The second one is against you, so lower your gaze. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, his nazar was napak, na'uzu billah. All the sahaba kiram, their nazars were napak. So we must not think our taqwa is greater than them. So Rasulullah Paak Sahasam says that lower your gazes. And then immediately after lowering the gazes, he says, وَحْفَزُوا فُرُوجَكُمْ, and protect your private parts. That means do not commit zina. It shows that this gaze will lead to zina. Now that person who is working next to that young girl who is scantily dressed in his business, in his factory, in his industry, then can that person protect his gaze for that 8 hours or 10 hours? Then if those wives are not going to complain, then what else is going to happen? So he says, وَحْفَزُوا فُرُوجَكُمْ, and then withhold your hands, the sixth thing, withhold your hands from any kind of injustice. So brothers, the night of Barat is here. This epidemic, whether it is an AIDS awareness week or an AIDS awareness month or year, as far as we Muslims are concerned, that we must be conscious of this all our lives, that we must not go close to anything that will lead us to zina. Music, cinemas, discos, porn movies, filthy literature, filthy novels, all these things encourage a person and it takes the person to zina. So let us once and for all make tawbah from it. And if we are working in such conditions, then quickly make tawbah and find a way out. Find a way out. If not, then it is useless just shouting at the top of our voices that it is an AIDS awareness week and we must be careful. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, especially in this night of Barat, to make sincere tawbah from all our sins and turn towards Him and beg of Him to change our whole lifestyles so that we may get peace, happiness, sukoon and satisfaction. Inshallah tonight, the bayan will start at 7:45. But because of parking problem and other problems here that we experience, I would request you to try and come a little early, and at 7:30 inshallah we will start with Durud Salam. But the talk will start at 7:45. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgive each and every one of us and bless us with the best of dunya and akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.